Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Yud Gimel in Maseches Sukkah. It's the 572nd daf in Shas. We continue to march along together. Today's daf is going to discuss different materials that are kosher for schach, discussing what type of schach would be kosher if it is naturally bundled together, because we had learned in our Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Aleph that Chavilei Kash, that bundles, are puzzle. There are times that bundles will be kosher. That will take us through the midpoint of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where we'll talk about different types of bundles for different types of mitzvos. For example, the bundle of grass, the ezov of the Parah Aduma, the ezov that was used for Pesach Mitzrayim, for to sprinkle the blood. Once we discuss bundles, the Gemara will just analyze some of those things as well. The Gemara will continue to analyze this gzeiras otzer, the prohibition of putting up schach in a bundle, because you might come to just simply sit in a treasure house, that particularly a storage house, that has bundles on top of it. And the Gemara will describe that there are some bundles that are an exception to that rule. Then the Gemara will discuss what type of materials are just simply too thin to serve as a roof, both in terms of the halachos of Tumah, as well as the halachos of Sukkah. And this will bring us to some halachos that relate to Tumah. For example, we will discuss the halachos of Yados, and that will conclude our daf. So our daf is really all about the halachos of Schach. So let's pick up on the first line. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Hani Hizmi Vihigi. Hizmi Vihigi are types of branches from brush, Misachachin buhu, you're allowed to use that for schach. Abaye Omar, hizmi misachachin, behigi lo misachinon. You cannot use what's called higi. Not because it's possible for schach, explains the Gemara, my taima, not because it is not, would not be considered halachic schach. It is a dover shegidulo min haaretz, and it's enem makabel tuma. Those are two requirements we learned on yesterday's daf as being critical for the halachos of schach. However, here there's a different reason. Kivan de nisri, the word nisri that's written with a saf, we know in Aramaic the taf or the saf and shin can be interchanged, or often interchanged. So it's kivan de nisri. Since the twigs and leaves fall off, tarfayu shavik le vinafik, it will disturb him and ultimately cause him to leave in the sukkah. So he won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of teshvu kein taduru. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, hayef kusa dedikla misachachinam bo. The sharp edges of a palm tree that come out from its trunk, you're allowed to use for schach. Aval gav da agidi. Eged, even though they're bunched together, and we had learned that bunches that are tied together by rope is a problem, here it's not going to be a problem, because eged bidei shemaim lo shmei eged. If it's bunched together, because that's how it grew, so then the rule of our Mishnah, Masachim ben, doesn't apply, because the whole shash of our Mishnah was that you might come to simply sit under twigs that are in a storage room, that are put above a storage room, and were never put down for shade for a sukkah. Here, there isn't dachshash, there won't be any confusion. It doesn't resemble a bundle at all, a bundle that sits on top of the storage house, because it was bundled bidei shemayim. Amar v'chiz amar vina bar shila, hani dukri dekoni, misachkin buhu. These sharp things that come out of reeds, the only difference between this and the above case, says Rashi, is one came out of the palm tree and this one comes out of the reeds. Misachkin buhu, you could use it, afagav d'agidu ninu, even though they're bunched together, eged bidei shemayim lo shmei eged. So that's the basic idea that we saw before, that there's no need for the gzera in such a case. The Gemara now adds, afagav dehoder agadluhu, even if you're going to yourself tie it again, igud bechad lo shmei eged. Since the way they would tie it, Rashi explains, is they would tie the top parts that were jutting out, that by with itself, that is not considered a form of eged that will have the problem of gzeras otzer. Tanyanamihach, we also learned in Ebraisa, konim, like we mentioned above, these key things can be used. Kanim pshita, the Gemara says, kanim it's pashut, that you'd be able to. Why would you think that's a problem? Ema kanim shel dekranim misachkin bahen. The kanim shel dekranim, even though they resemble a chavila, since they grow that way, it's not going to be a problem. That was the chiddush. Ve'amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Ina Bar Shila, Hani Marisa de Agma. The leaves of maror that grow on the bank of a swamp. Adam yotze ben yedei chavasa bePesach. We could be yotze our chiyuv for maror with it on Pesach. Just like we had quoted above a teaching from Rav Chisda, so too now we quote another teaching from Rav Chisda in the name of Rav Ina Bar Shila, and now we have traversed to Hilchas Mara. Meisive, I'll ask you the following kasha. This Mara that's called Marisa da Agma, it's hard to imagine, asks the Gemara, that should be kosher for Mara because it's called the Mara of the Agam. When it comes to Halacha of Ezov, when it comes to the patch of grass that is used, for example, it's used in different instances, but for the Parah Aduma, where the Torah Kedoshah says, V'lokach ezov etoval b'mayim, that you dip it into the water with the ash of the Parah Aduma, and then you use it to sprinkle. So Chazal Darshan, what type of ezov does it have to be? V'lo ezov yavon. It's supposed to be called an ezov that's called ezov stam, and not some that's called ezov yavon, v'lo ezov kuchali, v'lo ezov mudbari, v'lo ezov romi. It's not supposed to have another adjective or noun that is attached to it to describe it. It's just referred to as the Ezov. So too, asks the Gemara, wouldn't the same apply to Marar? That the Marar that we're supposed to use is not supposed to be a Marar that's called Marar de something, but rather just Marar alone. And this is called Marisa de Agla. Amar Abaye, kol sh'nishtanu shmo kol dematan Torah. Uvasa Torah v'hikbir alav. If its name was changed before Matan Torah, in other words, it wasn't just called an Ezov before Matan Torah, it was called Ezov de Midbar, Ubasa Torah v'hikbir alav, and then the Torah came along and said, no, that's going to be possible, biyadua sheyesh lo shem levai. Then we know that it has a shem levai, was possible. Vahani, but when it comes to the Mara, lo nishtanu shemayu kod Matan Torah klav. Even before Matan Torah, it was never known to have a shem levai, and therefore the Torah was never makbid on it that it can't have a shem levai. Contrast to Ezov, if the Torah calls it Ezov when there already was an Ezov Amidbar, so then in such a case, it comes to preclude an Ezov Amidbar, only a regular Ezov. But Mara didn't have a name before, and therefore the Torah doesn't mean to preclude anything, except for that which is not called Mara at all. Rava Amar, Rava says the truth is that this Marar is really not a different type of Marar at all. Rava Amar, Hani Marisa Stama Shemayu. It's a regular Marar, it's called regular Marar. V'hai dekarilu Marisa da'agma, I is referred to sometimes as the Marar of the swamp. Mishum de mishtakach ba'agma, only because it's found in the swamp, but not because its quality is any different. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic of what's considered a binding, both for the requirement of something to be an Ezov, that is grass that's bound together, and the psul when it comes to sukkah. So it comes to Ezov, paraduma needs to be bound together. When it comes to sukkah, it can't be. Amar Rav Chisda, in both directions, Igeid bechad lo shmei eged. If it was bound with just one piece being tied to itself, that's not considered an egev. However, eged shalosh shmei eged. But if three are tied together, then that's considered an eged. Shnayim machlekes Rabbi Yosi Rabbanan. And two is a machlekes between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabban. This is not, as we learned in a Mishnah in Parah, mitzvahs ezov shlosha kalachim. The mitzvah of the hyssop used for the Parah Aduma, it has to have a kelach, which is a root, three of them. Uvahen shlosha givalim. And on every root needs a middle leaf. In other words, stemming from its root is a center leaf. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, mitzvah says of shlosha givolim, that you need three middle leaves, v'shiyarav shnayim, v'gardumav kolshu. And as long as it has two, in other words, as long as when it was tied together there were three roots, three kalachim, they'll be fine, even if it's only left with two givolim. V'gardumav, and the leftover parts that break away from the givolim, because it's often that it falls apart, Karl Shu, as long as there's a little bit that's left, then that's considered part of the Givolim. In analyzing the position of Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, Kasal kadaitach, originally we thought that the position of Rabbi Yossi is the following. Midisharav shnayim, tchilaso shnayim. The fact that he speaks about two being left over is because he holds that you need two for it to be considered an Ezov. Ay, v'haydiktani shlosha. Ay, we have learned that the mitzvah is to do it with three. L'mitzvah. That's only to teach us for the mitzvah. U'midrabiyosi shlosha l'mitzvah. Now let's infer backwards what the Shitas Rabbanim will be. So where's the machlokas then between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanim? Rabbi Yossi holds three is only necessary l'chatchil for the mitzvah. But the Rabbanon shloisha la'akev. But the Rabbanon hold that three is ma'akev. Analyze the Gemara, Tanya. But then we learn Bryce Rabbi Yossi Omer Ezov tchilaso shnayim v'shiyarech apostle ve'ena kosher ad she'ei tchilaso shlosh v'shiyarev shnayim. We quote in the name of Rabbi Yossi that it's only going to be kosher if you have three. It's not enough to have shiyarev shnayim. So Gemara says epach. So you're gonna have to change our version, that what? L'Rabbi Yossi shlosh l'akev, the Rabban shlosh l'mitzvah. That it was Rabbi Yossi who says that the three is ma'akev, and the Rabban hold that the three pieces of grass are ma'akev. Ask the Mar, Vahatanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa? Well, actually here, Vahatanya is not the way we normally translate Vahatanya. Vahatanya is normally a kasher. Here, Rashi tells us it's benichusa. Rashi catches us in our mistake and says, Vahatanya, and the raya to this is that the Rabban hold the three is l'mitzvah from the following b'ai. Say, Isa t'chilas v'shnayim v'shiyar of echad, kasher. Ve'in apostle, ad she'i t'chilas v'shiyar of echad. The only time it's possible is if you're left with one. Ha'amit, shiyar of echad, kasher. So how could you say above that shiur echad is possible? It's a stira mineu bay in the brisa. Continues the Gemara Talmud Beis. Ela ema achete tchilasok sheirav echad. Only if it started off with one. However, if it started off with two, then it's going to be kosher according to the Rabbanim. So we see that according to the Chachamim, it's tchilasok shnayim, then it's kosher. Now that we verified some of these details about the Ezov, the Gemara goes back to the halachos of being mesachech with a bundle that we learned in the Mishnah on Yubeza Med Aleph, that is a problem according to most midrabanim. Two lines to the top of Yigimel and Beis Darsh Mereimer Hani Usuraisa Disura Mesachkin Bu. The bundles that are tied together that are generally done in Surya, you're allowed to use them for sach. Afakav de Ogdan, even though they were tied together, amazing thing. They were only tied together so that there would be a unanimous number that you could clearly and easily count the reeds. And they would do that by, let's say, tying every 10. And therefore, there is no gzeiras otzer, because we're not afraid that people are going to put them up on top of their roof without opening them. And people will then think that they could sit in an otzer, because they always open it up immediately after they buy it. Amar Rabbi Avo, Hani Trifi, Du'orvana. These were mats that were used by hunters to camouflage and protect themselves from being seen by the animals. Kivan Shehutra Roshei Madanim Shalem. Once the knots that are holding these mats together are separated, Sheirin, then they're kosher. Asks the Gemara, V'agidi Mitatai, but weren't they tied from the bottom? Amar Rav Papa, Dushari Luhu, that they also undid that knot as well. Says the Gemara, or another teretz, Afil Teim Dilo Shari Luhu, it will still be kosher even if it be attached on the bottom. Why? Because Kol Eged Sheinu Asu L'Taltzlo, Lav Shmei Eged. If this knot was not made to transport it together, because once it's separated from a top, you cannot transport it without it falling apart, then in such a case, it's not considered as if it's tied together. The Gemara now continues about 8 or 9 lines from the top, coming back to Maror and applying the halachos of Maror to many other areas as well. When the Maror functions on the top of the roof, and of course, that will apply in regards to Sukkah. We've mentioned already in the past that sometimes they used to have reeds, and those reeds could serve different functions. The Maror is a type of vegetation that was sometimes even put on top of a roof. So says Rav Abba Amar Shmuel, Yirakos Shamru Chachamim, Adam Yotzemen Yidei Chavaso B'Pesach. These Yirakos that could be used for Marah, they have many other halachos when they're put on top of a roof. Now, these halachos have their own set of rules to them and their own applications, each one of them to the role of the Marah. Number one, Mivin Es Hatoma. If you use this Marah when it is still moist, then in such a case, it has a din oel min haTorah. Rashi points out only when it's still moist. It has a din oel min haTorah, and it will be mevi the tumah, which means that if there's tumah underneath that roof, and there's something else in another corner that's also under the roof, that other object will contract the tumah as if it was sitting in a regular oel. However, ve'ein chotzitzim mifnei haTumah. There is a gzeira midrabanan that is not considered a roof. In other words, it goes l'chumra in regards to if there's something sitting on top of it. If it was a regular roof, the moist marar, then in such a case, if there was something sitting above the roof and there was tama under the roof, it would be chotzes b'pnei haTumah. However, there's a din derabanan that says it's not chotzes b'pnei haTumah. U'poyslim b'sukkah mishum avir. And it's not considered schach, and it's considered avir, and the shir avir that's posel for a sukkah, three tvachim that we're going to learn later on, yuzayin amid aleph, that would be the shir to posel it as well for the sukkah. My taima, why do we make it as if these objects, this marer, is not considered a roof, midrabanan? Both in regards to being chotzeitz b'fnei haTumah, as well as to be posel sukkah mishum avir, even when it's moist, kivan delichi yavshi pirchi v'nafli k'mad les no'odami. Because since eventually it's going to get hardened and it's going to crumble, so we don't give it a full status of a roof. The Gemara continues, v'ami Rabbi Abba Amar Avuna, haboitzer legas ein lo yodos. Once we learn one halacha from Rabbi Abba in regards to Tumah, we go to another halacha in regards to Tumah as well from Rabbi Abba, and that is someone who is using a wine press, and the grapes contracted Tumah. Question is whether the halachas of Yad applies to these grapes. The Gemara tells us in Chulin, Rashi points out in Dibur HaMaskil HaBoitzer, that a handle, when it serves a positive function for the primary object itself, like a pot, or in this case, it is the stem of the grape, in such a case, the halacha is that the handle also contracts tumah like the pot itself. However, when it comes to the grapes, where they're still attached to some type of stem, nevertheless, these stems, or anything else that's attached to it, is not considered a yad. Rashi explains, because a yad is only chashuv when you want it. V'rav Menashe bar Godom Rav Huna, ha-koytze l'schach ein lo yodos. Similarly, if someone cuts off for schach, anything else that's attached to schach that you're not interested in. For example, we had, when it came to the grapes, that there's no din yodos on even the flesh of the grape. We mentioned the stem. But even the flesh of the grape, if he's not interested in it, so there it doesn't contract tumah. Similarly, when it comes to the schach that is cut, if it's made of tevua, so then the wheat that's inside, since you're not interested in it, is does not contract tumah. The one who says that when you're cutting off schach, that the food inside doesn't become yados, certainly when it comes to the grapes, that you don't want the flesh of the grape or anything else to be in there because you don't want the wood to soak up the wine. But the one who says that boitzer doesn't have the halach of yad because you don't want those yados, but when it comes to kotzer, it will have a yad when he's cutting off the schach. There he might want the grain to remain in the schach, because maybe later on, maybe after Sukkot, he'll want to take the grain. And if the grain is going to be removed, it's more likely to be lost. Says the Gemara, name of the Rav Menashe Bar Gadda Tanoihi. This teaching that we just learned above might be dependent Mana machlok is tanoi. In other words, that Rav Menashe Bar Gada had said, Hakotza Schach ain lo yodos, that might be a machlokis tanoi. The sign we learned in Brisa. Suche te einim. Bahen te einim parkilin. Parkilin are vines, ubahen anovim, and they have grapes on it. So you've got these fig branches and their figs on it. Caution, if you have wheat, ubahen shibolim, there's grain inside of it. Mechabdos, those are date palm trees that are laden with dates, ubahen tamarin. Kulan, what's the halach in regards to using them for schach? So says the Braisa, impsiles meruba, ala ochling shera. If the majority is the wood, the psoles, the shaft, and not the food, then it's kosher. Vimlav, but if not, psula, then the schach is going to be pasul. Ochel is pasul, presumably because it's a davar hamikabel tuma, and the chiddush over here is that if the majority is the psoles, then it's going to be kosher. Acherim amru, others disagree. Achiu kashim merubin ala yodos fa'ala ochlin. It's not enough that you just have a majority of non-food item, but you need that the actual shaft and branches be more than the yodos. In other words, any ancillary food material, for example, the stem of the fruit, there needs to be a majority of branches more than both stem and fruit. Analyzes the Gemara, Maila Baha Kamiflagi. What's the machlokis? It's only a machlokis of whether yados is included as the fruit or as part of the branch. What's that machlokis? Demar Savar Yeshlan Yados. One man, the Omer, holds that there is such a thing as yados. When it comes to the schach, that you consider the yad as part of the fruit. Umar Savar Eilan Yados. And another mandamar holds no. The nafkamina will also be in regards to tumah v'tahara, whether the yad will contract tumah v'tahara, would follow the din of the fruit if it was cut off for schach. So Gemara clarifies, li Rebbe Abba, according to Rebbe Abba, who had said, habotzer legas ein lo yados, and we had said, certainly when it comes to schach, vadai tanoihi, then it's certainly machlokis tanoim. The Rav Menashe Bar Gada, who taught in the name of Rav, Hakotzer Eschach Ein Lo Yados, Mi Lema Tanoi, how are you convinced that he would say it's Machlokes Tanoim? Maybe, Amar Lecha Rav Menashe, L'kuli Amar Savri Hakotzer Eschach Ein Lo Yados. That everybody holds that when you cut off for Eschach, then in such a case you've decided that you don't want to use and signify the stems for the fruit. You want to use them for Eschach. But what was the case of Machlokes Tanoim? Kigon shekatz the son la'achila. No, originally he wanted to cut the apples off for the apples, and everybody wants a little bit of stem on their apple. V'nimla chalein l'sichuch, and then he decided to use it for schach. But then there's a Machlokes Tanoim. Once he decided to use it for schach, do the yados now become part of the branches, or are they still connected to the fruits? Says the Gemara, he cuts on l'achila. If he cut off for achila, why would the Rabbanan say that it loses its identity for a yad? It was cut off to be a yad. V'chi tema, says the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, and you gimel beis kasai Rabban. Kivan the name lech, halein l'sichuch, batalei machshavto, that once he changed his mind and decided to use it for schach, then his original machshavah to use it for fruit, it would be batal. Could you be mevatel your machshava in such a manner? Vatnan, it would seem that you can't do that. Kol hakelim, we learned in Meseches, kelim in perichafei, going to yudalit amin aleph, yardin ledei tumah b'machshava. If you decide that you want to use it as a kli, then that's enough for it to enter the state of kli, to contract tuma once you decide your machshava ve'ein ma'olin bi tumasan, and if you no longer want to use it for a kli and now you want it, that shouldn't be able to contract tuma. It's not enough just to decide that you don't want it. Ela b'shinoi ma'isa, but you have to do a shinoi ma'isa. Why ma'isa moitzim yad ma'isa umiyad machshava? Ma'isa could change both ma'isa machshava. Machshava ein ma'tzia lo midei ma'isa v'lo midei machshava, but machshava is not enough to affect a previous machshava. So we're going to leave off today's daf with the Gemara asking the question, according to the Rabbanan, particularly according to the Shita of Rav Huna, why would it be that if originally the branches were cut off for fruit, and then clearly then he wants the stems, the yados, to be considered part of the prut. If he simply changes and decides that he wants to use it for schach, that there would be no longer a din of a yados. Presumably, that is not consistent with the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. Bezer Hashem tomorrow will pick up with the answer to that kasha.